Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left, as always, is my Lancastrian co-host, Joe Nutsy. Not all. So Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, it's not too bad, thanks. Not really done much, to be fair, but obviously now the county season has properly come to an end, so there's not really any county cricket on, and I guess now the next big thing is the World T20, obviously. England-wise, obviously the IPL's on at the moment, but England-wise, obviously the World T20's not in the not-too-distant future, so yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes for England, but I'm a bit nervous for that, to be fair. These are conditions that not all the players have played in, so and obviously still know Ben Stokes, who is a vital player for England. So, and no Jofra. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how will England do. And it's also a bit concerning about Owen Morgan's form, isn't it? With the bat, because, I mean, as good a captain as he is, if he's not scoring any runs, I'm not saying you should drop him, but, you know, it's not ideal, is it? So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that, though.
Well, I'm going to be honest, Joe. I don't think England are going to drop, you know, their most successful white ball captain ever.
I don't either. And Morgan is one of my favourite England players. So, as I say, I don't think that'll happen, but I'm more just throwing that out there. Hopefully he gets some form. I'm sure he will. He's guaranteed to not get out or something now in the whole tournament. I've said that.
Oh, fingers crossed, Joe. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That'd be very good.
Leading run scorer in the 2021 T20 World Cup. That'd be absolutely fantastic for Captain Morgan. And of course, to quote AB de Villiers, form is temporary, class is permanent. So obviously backing the skipper to find some form ahead of that massive tournament. And of course, our first game on the 23rd of October. It's a repeat of the 2016 final against the West Indies in Dubai. So that should be an absolutely phenomenal encounter to kickstart this year's campaign. But Joe, of course, we aren't here to talk about the T20 World Cup just yet, although we do have some review shows planned for that in due course. Instead, we're here to talk about the 2021 Bob Willis Trophy Final. And we thought, who better to get on than one of our returning guests, of course, one of the finest cricket brains in county cricket right now, as he starts laughing when I say that. We are, of course, talking about Warwickshire County Cricket Club's performance analyst extraordinaire, James Thompson. So, Tomo, mate, how's your day been so far?
Hey, guys. Yeah, all good, thanks. It's been one of my quietest days since April, I reckon.
When was the last time we had you on? It was for the 2020 season review, I believe, wasn't it?
I can tell you exactly when it was. It was during that pink ball test.
Yes, it was.
When we went over for training in the morning, came back, and I think the test match was done. Or
yeah,
about 14 wickets in 3 hours or something. Yeah, that's when it was.
Was good memory, very, very good memory that, James. And in terms of obviously proceedings and what's gone on with Warwickshire in the past couple of weeks, of course, winning the county championship for the 8th time in the club's history, and then this weekend, of course, winning the Bob Willis Trophy, has it sunk in yet?
I don't think so just yet. I mean, it's starting to sink in, I guess, a little bit, starting to sober up. But yeah, talking to a few mates that have rang me and sent me messages and stuff, it's starting to sink in the achievement that the boys have achieved, really. And having a few management group photos with both trophies after winning the Bob Willis Trophy game started to put it into perspective.
Fair enough. I mean, for me personally, I'm going to be honest, it won't sink in for the next year. So, Joe, apologies in advance. I'm going to be absolutely insufferable on the podcast for at least the next few months talking about county champions and Warwickshire's 8th county championship title. But honestly, it's been absolutely fantastic. It really has. They're a great bunch of lads. Obviously, got a very, very strong support staff as well, as Don Robbo himself did mention the other day in a post-match interview. And it's just been an amazing season for Warwickshire. So let's take a deeper dive into the second of those trophies this season. Of course, the Bob Willis Trophy itself. And Joe, I'd love to get your thoughts on this first of all. Obviously, as a Lancashire fan, what did you make of the final itself in terms of obviously the game? It was disappointing for Lancs, being skittled for 78 in the first innings, conceding 518 in the second, and then losing by an innings. But what did you make of the final itself and, of course, the occasion behind the Bob Willis Trophy?
Yeah, I'd say overall it was disappointing. It's a bit of an understatement for Lancs. It was I mean, you couldn't really get two contrasting first innings, could you? There was almost 500 runs separating them. There's 400 and what, like 440 runs separating them. You could not really have got two contrasting first innings. So, I mean, overall, for a neutral, I don't think it was probably the best game because it was so one-sided. But again, I can see why neutrals would have enjoyed just seeing a load of runs scored. If it had been someone other than Lancs playing, I would have enjoyed seeing Warwickshire score all those runs because it's just fun to see a team score 518, isn't it? In a pretty quick time as well. 147 overs is pretty good going. So, yeah, from a Lancs point of view, it was really, really disappointing. Again, I'm not really going to lose any too much sleep over it. It was a Bob Willis Trophy final, which was a bit like a glorified friendly in some ways. Sure, Warwickshire will feel different. I'm sure I would have if Lancs had won. But in my opinion, it is now just a glorified friendly. So you take your win.
Fair enough, Joe. I think that's quite a funny way of putting it. And obviously, in terms of this final, I'd love to know your thoughts on Lancashire's batting, of course, because this was a major focal point. Of course, I alluded to it beforehand, 78 all out on what didn't seem to be a ridiculously tough pitch. And that, of course, was reinforced by Warwickshire finishing day one on a score of 120 for none at stumps. What did you make of Lancashire's approach to batting in particular in that first innings, Joe?
Yeah, I think Warwickshire's bowled really, really well, to be honest. Especially Miles, obviously picked up a five for him. For me, just bowled like a genuinely really, really good line of length. Especially at Lord's, you can't really do much else. Obviously the whole of Warwickshire's bowling attack, you obviously only use four bowlers, but they all chipped in. I know Bresnan didn't get a wicket, but still a couple of mainers in there and you just bowled really, really well, and I think that's probably where I'd say, when Lancs were four down or five down, well, we were 6 for 12, and that's when I pretty much knew there was absolutely not a chance Lancs were going to win. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably more where Lancs lost it. The batting wasn't great, but Josh Bohannon and Luke Wood really stood up. I think Luke Wood especially was excellent with the bat in both innings, actually. And Josh Bohannon, I mean, he's got to go to the Ashes. I really do think that he's such a good player. And even as obviously only a back, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with the Ashes. We don't know who's going to be going and all that. But regardless, he's got to go either as a backup or as England's number three or four should Root and whoever not go. Bohannon has certainly got to be in the minds of selectors because he's such a good player. He really is.
To be honest, Joe, I would agree. Definitely on the plane, 100%. Him and Tom Abel, I mention it all the time here on the podcast.
Yeah, those two. Yeah,
They are the
definitely.
next in line, aren't they? In terms of England's top to middle order, absolutely phenomenal batting options. And James, I just want to get your insight in this for a second, because of course, in that first innings, Bohannon, a massive wicket, a guy who scored 170 against us up at Old Trafford earlier in the divisional stage of the Championship, dismissed for 17 runs by Warwickshire's new gun on the block, Manraj Johal, one of my absolute favourite young talents at the club right now. Could you just give us some insight into how Manraj has been this season in terms of his development, in terms of what you expect from him heading into next season as well, perhaps?
Yeah, of course. Look, Manny's worked really hard with Pop all year, with Graham Welch. Sort of, he's been around the first team environment doing 12ers quite a lot. And I mean, you probably saw it at many of our championship games. As soon as players are heading in for lunch, Pop's heading out with his bag and with a couple of bowlers with his mitt and stumps to do bits with them. So. Look, Manny's worked really hard all year. He's performed well in the second team and deserved his debut and reaped the rewards from working with Pop.
He certainly did. I mean, I was so impressed. I really do rate Manraj Johal as a bowler. I saw him in the Royal London One Day Cup at home against Notts, for example, and he just immediately catches the eye. He does have a bit more pace than other members of our bowling attack. And in this final, he's on first-class debut, figures of 3 for 29, of course, getting that massive wicket of Josh Bohannon with the pull shot and, of course, caught quite smartly by Dom Sibley. And to be honest, he's just another one in a very, very long line of seamers who are really challenging for places in that Warwickshire side next season, with the likes of Craig Miles, Liam Norwell, Ollie Stone, Ollie Hannon-Dalby, George Garrett as well. Like, we've got so many options heading into 2022. I do think the future does look brighter Edgbaston. And of course, we've had a wonderful season. Who knows? maybe the treble in 2022, Tommy. That is the aim for the Bare and Ragged staff heading into next season. Joe, just one more thing that I would love to know from you from that batting display. And you mentioned beforehand about Luke Wood. How impressed were you with Luke Wood's batting? Because he seemed to be a lot more counter-attacking, didn't he? A lot more proactive in terms of his approach, taking the attack to the Warwickshire bowlers with a flurry of boundaries. He scored 8 in total. How impressed were you with Luke Wood's batting effort in that first innings?
Yeah, I think that was probably the right way to go about it. You know, in the situation Lance were in, I mean, if you look down the scorecard, Balderson 1 off 9, you know, Croft 0 off 9, Jones 1 off 7, Bailey 0 off 12. Again, I'm not saying that these guys went about it the wrong way. Everyone has their own individual way of playing. But, you know, Luke Wood just, as you say, just took the attack really, really well to the Warwickshire bowlers and didn't really hold back. And at the end of the day, he knew that if he got out, okay, Lance would be, what, 20 for 7 or whatever. Or he could get, like he did, 46, 50. Maybe he gets support and maybe he gets an 80. Who knows? Maybe Lance were in the game a bit more. So for me, that was a very impressive, you know, way of playing. And I think Luke Wood has been, for me, Lance's second best batter this year, actually, I would have to say. Only behind, obviously, Josh Bohannon. For me, Luke Wood, in the Championship, Luke Wood has been very impressive. And I know they're batting in different... They're batting in different, you know, different like times almost. You know, Wood is coming in at the tail, but you know, Wood's average is ridiculous this year, and he got 100 in the friendly against Essex at the start of the year. And he might have got 100 again in this season at some point. For me, Lou was batting is very underrated. Same with Danny Lamb, they're both very underrated with the bat. And you know, I genuinely think that he's been, or maybe second is a bit of an exaggeration, but I genuinely think he is in the top 4 or 5 of our batters this year in Red Bull cricket because of how much of an impact he has. And I would class him as a genuine all-rounder, 100%.
Fair enough, Joe. I mean, just to give you some stats behind Luke Wood this season in the Championship, 9 games, 357 runs, a 35.7 average. Not bad at all, Joe. In terms of maybe being the second best batsman at Lancs, I'm not sure about that.
Maybe an exaggeration. Yeah. Right, maybe I jumped the gun a bit there. But for me, top 5, no, not the best batsman, but he's been the most impressive batsman in the Championship, is more what I would say, you know, alongside Bohannon and those kind of guys. Maybe I did jump the gun a little bit, so maybe we'll just say top 5 most impressive players this year. Him and Danny Lamb have to get there. I forgot Wells as well, so yeah, I've definitely jumped the gun there.
Hey, at least there's options though with Lancs, isn't there? I mean,
well, there you go.
I know, obviously, not the most ideal end to the season for the Red Rose, but still a good season, all in all, wasn't it, Joe? And of course, they did have a lot of performers, as we'll mention later on in the podcast, who did produce some excellent performances this season. Talking of the bat in hand, though, James, I'll now pass over to you for this next one because obviously, this is a man who's been on a lot of people's lips in 2021. And that is, of course, Rob Yates, one of our finest. I always mention this as well about the top 3 prospects in the Midlands, which are Dan Mousley, Rob Yates and Worcestershire's Jack Haynes. I really do think those 3 are the pride of the Midlands in terms of young batting prospects. How impressed were you with Rob Yates's temperament and, of course, his approach in this final? Because from where I was watching, of course, wasn't at Lord's. Unfortunately, the final didn't reach Saturday, so I wasn't actually able to go in the end. But in terms of the way in which he just looked so calm, so composed, so assured, he looked as though he was just owning it out in the middle, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Yatesy just did Yatesy things, to be honest. That's generally how he's gone. All Championship, just looked to leave the good balls outside off stump, gets into the ball well, defending on the front foot, and was exceptional at playing square with the wicket on the offside off the back foot. You go too full at him, he's exceptional at driving the ball through for extra cover and back through mid on, as you probably saw on the Sky footage. So, yeah, that's what Yatesy's done really well all year. And it's testament to Tony Frost and his work with Bab all through the winter. And it's really pleasing to see Rob doing so well.
Well, he has, hasn't he? He has absolutely excelled in this year's Red Bull format in general. Of course, in the finals, well, scoring 113. I think back to the 120 as well that he scored against Essex, making Simon Harmer go wicketless for just the second time in his Essex career in a 4th innings. Rob Yates really has been impressive for the Bare and Ragged staff this season. And I suppose I have to ask the $1 million question. England Lions call up. Do you think it's on the horizon?
Well, that decision is certainly above my pay grade.
But if it was your pay grade, James, would you select him?
Look, I know he's definitely on Yates's radar, and it's definitely an ambition of his. I'd imagine if he keeps working hard at his game and keep producing results, that you know the decision gets made for their recruitment team. So I think that's a position you want to get yourself into, especially as a batsman rather than a bowler trying to make your way into the side. If you make it that there's no other option to get into the side, then that's your way in.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's knocking the door down, in my personal opinion. Of course, you do have to accept there is some Warwickshire bias there. But honestly, this season, he's been an absolute revelation. 793 runs. He scored 4 centuries as well. And then, of course,
I would consider him.
You would, Joe.
100%. Yeah. If you look at his number of hundreds he's got, I think that's so important. And it's all good, you know, some players get this level of runs without converting to these hundreds. But, you know, I'd say 400s is so important for me. I would certainly look at maybe not starting him over Hamid, certainly, maybe not Burns as well. But I would certainly seriously consider taking him and putting him on the plane. And, you know, especially if Sibley goes as well, which, again, I'd imagine he will, then if England do decide to have Sibley opening, surely it makes sense to put Yates in there as well, because they play together for Warwickshire. So, I don't know. I would certainly strongly consider taking him.
Fair enough, Joe. I mean, I'm not sure that he'll make this year's Ashes, I'm going to be honest, but with that being said, England do have a Lions tour to Australia in 2021/22, so he's definitely an option, in my opinion, for that tour. I mean, him and Tom Haynes, and of course Jake Libby as well, I think are the next in line for the opening batsman position. All three of them have been absolutely sensational with the bat in hand this season. And of course, someone else who maybe hasn't had the season that we expected with the bat, he's been outstanding with the ball for the Bears, but I'm of course talking about Will Rhodes. Now, in this year's final, of course, getting his first century of the season in the Red Bull format, James, how vital and how important of an innings was that in terms of laying the foundation for the Bears in this contest?
Yeah, I think the situation was pretty nice for Rhodesy. I guess as a number three, you don't really want to be walking up to bat on the second ball of the innings. Yeah, walking up to bat when there's already 133 on the board, it just takes some pressure off you. And I think that showed in the way Rhodesy was able to play. He looked fluent. And, you know, Rhodesy's had a bit of hard luck this year. He sort of changed position where he's been batting. And it's nice for him to go into the winter now with the contributions he's made in the last two games when it really counts. So, look, we all knew in the dressing room that he's capable of those match-winning performances, so it's nice to see him go and do it.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, Will Rhodes has been absolutely sensational. The stats actually prove it over the past few years as well. Since 2018, him and Dom Sibley really have been two of the best opening batsmen in county cricket, as the stats suggest. Obviously, this season, though, he's had to take a bit of a different role. He's opened, he's batted three, batted in five in a couple of games as well. To be honest, he's just done exactly what the team's required of him. And as you said, James, towards the end of the season, that second innings knock against Somerset was absolutely outstanding. And then, of course, a 156 at Lord's, that is special, with 18 boundaries coming off the middle of that polar bear bat. So, yeah, Will Rhodes, take it back. He's been brilliant all season long in terms of the leadership, in terms of the ball as well. It was very, very satisfying to see him produce the goods with the bat as well. It really, really was a sensational innings. So that is pretty much Warwickshire's innings in terms of the analysis done, because it was a mammoth effort. It really was from the Bears. It was the first time that we crossed 400 runs in an innings since 2019 against Notts at Trent Bridge. So it had been a while, but it was definitely worth the wait, to say the least, with a fantastic 518 from 147.3 overs. And then that, of course, Joe, led to Lanx's second innings. And they got off to a decent start with George Balderson and Alex Davis. And then I suppose the man who almost had the final revolve around him, Craig Miles, produced a scintillating piece of fielding to get rid of Alex Davis, Joe. So in terms of that moment, what's going through your head? Because, of course, that was Alex Davis's final ever innings for Lanx. So what were your reactions to that run out? And, of course, do you have any words for Davis ahead of his departure, funnily enough, to our county of Warwickshire?
Yeah, well, obviously, it was when the news first broke that that Davis would be leaving Lancs, it was really, and I know that for me, it was really, really gutting to hear for a lot of Lancs fans. Certainly, that's the reaction I gauged on social media anyway. You've been here, he made his debut, I think, when he was 16, which is just remarkable in itself. So he's, 26 now? So he's been playing professional cricket for the last 10 years. And you know, he's a Lancs lad. You know, this is the county where he grew up and stuff. So it's a real shame to see him leave. And obviously, he will have his reasons. And I don't know the ins and outs. You don't, Aaron, and I'm sure you probably don't either, James. But, you know, it's such a shame to see him leave. And of course, I wish him all the best at Warwickshire. And he has been for a long time in my top two favourite Lancs players. So I would just throw that out there as well. Him and Livingston, my top two favourite Lancs players for a long time. Unfortunately now, that can't be the case. So yeah, that's a shame. But as I say, wish him all the best at Warwickshire. And yeah, I mean, you've got an incredibly good player there. So it was a real shame when he got run out as well. It's just not the way you really want to go, is it? It would have been nice for him to go out with 100, but of course it wasn't to be. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to particularly the T20 at Old Trafford next year now. If Lancs and Warwickshire actually get a game at Old Trafford, because it just never seems to happen. But particularly that game, I'm looking forward to that and seeing Davis return. And I know he's going to get a great reception. So yeah, that'll be a good game, I'm sure.
Absolutely, Joe, it will be. And of course, if that does happen, I'll be there. We'll have to do a TCCP meetup for that one to watch the Bears beat the Lightning, won't we, Joe? But in terms of that final innings, I must admit, even I was a little bit gutted for him, because it's a horrible way to go, isn't it? It's not, you know, it wasn't a big innings. It wasn't going out with, you know, a blaze of glory either. And getting run out as well, I mean, it's a heartbreaking dismissal, isn't it? In his final ever Lancs game. As you mentioned, he served the county so well for the best part of a decade. Oh, it was sad to see. But then again, some fantastic fielding from Craig Miles. And of course, that kind of, it didn't make the dominoes fall, of course, because there was that partnership between George Balderson and Luke Wells. But from that point onwards, it just didn't seem likely, did it? Lancs didn't have the foundation. They weren't, you know, like 150 for none or something, and could, you know, feasibly go and chase that target down. Yeah, I think that was not the beginning of the end, but it wasn't an ideal start for Lancs at all. But in terms of Balderson, Joe, what did you make of his performance? Because this wasn't just his first ever game at Lord's. It was also his first ever trip to London for the first time in 21 years, which I did find quite staggering. But what did you make of his batting in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought Borders is a good player, a really, really good player. And I'm so glad he's been given the opportunity to open. Obviously, it's a shame that was through Keaton Jennings becoming injured, which is never, of course, what you want to see, especially for someone like Keaton Jennings, who is so pivotal to Lancs. But I really do think this could open the door for Balderson and he can lock down this opening spot. I mean, obviously, we have Phil Salt coming in next year, who I'm hugely excited about seeing. Whether he plays in the Red Bull arena, I'm not sure. He's obviously not been doing that for Sussex recently. Has he played? I don't know if he's played one Red Bull game this year. I mean, personally, I would love to see him play Red Bull cricket. Imagine him and Livingston in the middle order. That would be incredible. Just blowing everyone out of the water. Maybe that does leave the door open for Balderson. If not, I know for a fact he'll get another opportunity at some point, because, as I say, things like injuries happen. And, you know, he scored 250s at the top of the order against Hampshire in the second innings. Batted very well, I thought. Supported Alex Davis. He got like 30 or 40 balls, just supported Davis. And he's not exactly done anything wrong, has he, at the top of the order, let's be honest. So he states a real good claim to join Jennings next year there. Should Salt A, either not play, or B, bat in the middle order? But again, only time will tell. But yeah, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a good player and also a great bowler as well.
I'd agree.
Just good to be able to get a genuine all-rounder in at the top of the order, because he doesn't open the bowling most often, especially when you've got the likes of Mahmood back. He won't open the bowling. It'll be Mahmood and Bailey. So, you know, he's going to get some good rest. And when you can have that extra seamer in at the top of the order, it kind of gives you some leeway down. And if, you know, you may be debating whether to play someone like Parkinson or maybe Hartley as well as Parkinson, it gives you some leeway knowing that you have Balderson as well as a genuine all-rounder at the top of the order.
100%, Joe. And again, another really, really bright and promising prospect. I must admit, I was immensely impressed with him in that final. He's playing some beautiful drives against Danny Briggs in particular. And it took an absolute jaffer from Liam Norwell, to be honest, to remove his off stump and end his innings. So George Balderson, again, another young player to watch out for in the county ranks. So that's pretty much it in terms of our, you know, wrap up of the final itself. Just one final thing, actually, James, because I wanted to ask this. It was a burning question. Tactics wise, did Warwickshire deliberately go for the wobble seam? Was that because of the surface? What was the thinking behind that, in particular from Liam Norwell?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's one of Liam's deliveries. Wokesy used it quite a lot during his championship games for us. So obviously Wokesy being able to pass our knowledge to our bowling attack is massive. So yeah, it's something that all of our bowlers have been working on with Pop. And when you've got the conditions to help that as well, and the ball swinging, so you've got lights on and overcast conditions help out, it becomes a real threat.
Well, it certainly was, wasn't it? And to be honest, Norwell was absolutely phenomenal in this final. Has been all season, of course. Warwickshire's leading first-class wicket taker in the championship as well, with 49 wickets. I mean, what a season it's been for Big Red. He has really, really excelled in this year's competition. And to be fair, guys, this actually might, you know, relate to our next question, our one before our final wrap-up question of today's podcast. But if you had to choose one player, and it might be Liam Norwell, who'd you say was the player of the 2021 Bob Willis Trophy Final? Joe, I'll start with you first for this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Luke Wood, just because, honestly, like, obviously I could choose a Warwickshire player, but, you know, you guys can do that. So I'll choose a Lancs player. And of course, I'm going to choose Luke Wood. Honestly, he was so good with the bat. I know he didn't necessarily bowl to his best, but again, everyone knows how good he is with the ball as well. But especially with the bat, you know, as we said earlier, took the fight to the Warwickshire players. And for me, he was Lancs' player of the final. I mean, if I had to choose one overall, then yeah, I don't know. I would love to say Wood, but you'd probably say Miles or Norwell, really, wouldn't you? But yeah, I'll go for Luke Wood just to vary it up, because I know you two have probably similar answers.
No, I respect that, Joe. I respect that. Good reasoning and good logic behind that, because my choice is definitely a Warwickshire player. James, who would you say was your player of the final at Lords?
It's a good question. I mean, just hearing Joe say that then, like, Luke Wood was probably their most threatening bowler for us. He got the highest percentage of challenging deliveries against us in a spell. And he did start to shape the ball.
He went wicketless though, didn't he?
He did go wicketless, but he bowled really nicely. Mm. Especially on a day where we were batting and the sun was out. In terms of us, there's a couple of options. Obviously, Milo bowled really nicely in that first morning in that opening spell. Some cracking bits of fielding, you know, the catch he took and the run out. Pasty bowled really nicely. You know, taking that first wicket on that morning session, and that ball he bowled to Balderson was a beauty. But also Manraj made a really impressive debut, so could be any one of those, as well as Rhodey and Yatesy scoring runs. So there's plenty of options. Yeah, I don't know, any of those.
If you had to choose one, James,
yeah, it's got to be Milo or Pasty, I think.
Right, you know what, I'll say my one, because it is between those two, I'm going to be honest. Obviously, honourable mentions, Jahal. Manraj Jahal was absolutely fantastic. Loved watching him bowl, good pace, really accurate. And that Yorker to Luke Wood in the second innings, which castled his leg stump, was absolutely divine. So yeah, Jahal's definitely up there. Of course, Rhodey as well for his 156, and Rob Yates for his 113. But for me, it has to be Craig Miles. He was on a different planet in this game, wasn't he? To take a fiver in the first innings, every single ball, there seemed to be something which was about to happen. And it's not often you see spells like that. It really, really was gripping and fascinating cricket to watch on the live stream on YouTube. So I'll go with Craig Miles. He was absolutely superb in the final. And gents, that brings us on quite nicely to our wrap-up question about the Bob Willis Trophy itself. Because, of course, it was a wonderful, you know, exhibition game. We got to see a nice curtain closer for the 2021 season. But I suppose the big question, given the fact that the ECB are not thinking of renewing it for the 2022 season, is do you think that the Bob Willis Trophy will come back? That is the big question from today's podcast. Joe, I'll start with you. Would you like to see the Bob Willis Trophy back? And if so, would you like to see it in this current format? Or would you like to see the format potentially changed for the future?
Yeah, I think for me, I'd like to potentially see it return, but I'd personally bring it back in a different way. I'd probably play it more like the Community Shield in football, where you obviously have the Premier League champions and the winners of the FA Cup competing, facing off against each other, or if you've won both, which must be pretty nice. Then, they obviously play against the runners up of the Premier League. And basically, what I'm trying to say is Lancs and Warwickshire should have played this game at the start of next season. It would have been a good way to begin the season. It wouldn't have been more of a. It would have been a more serious contest, I feel like. You wouldn't have got more. I feel like it was a bit of a chilled game. Obviously, the players wanted to win, but, from a fan's perspective, for me personally, if Lancs didn't win, then, as I said earlier, it's not the end of the world for me. I'd much rather take the county championship any day. I think that's probably the way I would play it, and I don't know if you two agree with me, but for me that would draw more crowds in, and yeah, maybe they include other teams as well. Maybe it's a little, maybe it's a three-way competition between Division One, Division Two, Division Three runners up. Sorry, Division One, Division Two, Division Three winners, and they could have played that at the start of next season, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, yeah, Joe, we will see. Because as I mentioned, with the ECB, there are no plans for it in 2022. But if there was, James, would you agree with Joe? Play at the beginning of the season? Would it replace the MCC Champion County match, though? That's the only question, I suppose, with that logic. I mean, what do you think with regards to the future of the Bobolish Trophy?
Yeah, it's a good question. We've had this conversation around the dressing room, and there was loads of different answers. Obviously, on Twitter, I've seen that suggestion that Joe just gave, and that seemed like a good option for me. It'd sort of be like a good eye opener into the new season of the County Championship. Get interest for Red Bull cricket going early in the calendar, especially if it's on that free to air live stream again on YouTube, and it's easily accessible. So I definitely think that's an option. Obviously, as a Warwickshire analyst and being part of the club, it's the trophy's pretty sentimental to Warwickshire, especially under Bob's name. So yeah, I'd definitely like to see it back in whatever capacity.
100%, James. As would I. I mean, that's the thing. It's just about finding the correct place for it, because in terms of the trophy itself, as you said, it does have that sentimental meaning. Because of course, for us as Warwickshire fans, for Warwickshire as a club, Bobby is a club legend. He served the club for 12 years, 13 seasons between 1972 and 1984, one of England's greatest ever seam bowlers. So I do hope it comes back. I sincerely hope that it does come back. I hope that the ECB can find a better way of scheduling it. For in terms of my personal opinion, I'd like to see it as a curtain raiser, not a curtain closer. Have it at the start of the season, have that real exhibition feel. As Joe said with the Community Shield, I think that was a really, really good suggestion, to be honest, Joe. Kind of to kickstart the season in the right way with a touching exhibition game. But if this does prove to be the last Bobolish trophy, at the same time, I do think that the trophy's found its home, hasn't it? I mean, what a county for the Bobolish trophies go to, the county which Bob served so brilliantly for 12 years. So no matter what happens with the Bobolish trophy, we'll have to wait and find out. Only time will tell. But I mean, in terms of us three, I think it's pretty obvious what the consensus is. Bring it back, change the formats, and hopefully, fingers crossed, if not in 2022, we shall see it return at some point in the future. But I think that's pretty much it, gents, for today's episode of the podcast. I mean, do we have anything to close up on? James, do you have any social media channels to plug or promote, for example?
Absolutely not.
No. I mean, we'll leave them anyway, just in case anyone does want to follow James for his world-class analysis on Twitter or Instagram. But that is pretty much it from us two here at the Counter Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.